Mark.
I hope you don't mind if I sit. I think I'll be better focused so I can follow my notes. Excuse me. Okay, there we go. So as I said earlier, my name is Jody Bodner. I'm with the Client Assistance Program, or CAP, which is much easier to say. So thank you for having me today. I'm going to talk a little bit, just an overview about the CAP program. I don't want to say brief, because I feel like I'm packing in a lot of information in a smaller amount of time. So if you have questions as I go, just feel free to let me know, interrupt me. That's no problem there. So I want to talk about what CAP is, who we serve, how we work with VR, NCBDI, and our other partners in order to support individuals. So why CAP exists? CAP is required as a service under the Rehabilitation Act, and its purpose is to help individuals understand services that are provided under that Rehab Act, understand their rights, and have a way to address concerns. So CAP is here to make sure that we are supporting client access, they understand things, and then if it comes down to it, if they have concerns, that they have an avenue to address some sort of resolution, or they at least know their options. In addition to that, I will add that if a state has a VR program, they are required to have a CAP program. So VR services, NCBDI services that involve the employment part, you have to have a CAP program within the state so they're able to have that kind of avenue for clients to have a little bit of extra support. So again, what CAP does, we explain services, inform clients of their rights, and make sure that they're well aware of the processes, policies, procedures, things like that, so they can better follow along with their services. We help individuals problem solve in order to create resolutions to kind of come to that common agreement with their staff and the client and who else is a part of their support team. We help individuals prepare for meetings and that overall kind of communication piece. And one of our main things is we really want to help individuals resolve any issues or kind of be able to move forward with their case with a resolution at the lowest level possible. So we want to be able to hopefully be able to just talk to the client and teach them about the policy, procedures that they have questions about, that they're asking about, and maybe they have enough information to then move forward and advocate on their own. I mentioned helping individuals prepare for meetings and that communication piece. So we've had, or I've done things like maybe email the client with some of the talking points that we address during a phone call. Like, here are some of the questions, so you're kind of prepared. And always with an invite, if you feel like you need additional support, or after you ask those questions, if they create more questions, obviously reach back out and contact us. We like to kind of follow along as much as we can, but we want to encourage the client as well to do their own self-advocacy. So there's a lot of the kind of advisement piece where here are different pathways, here are the policies and kind of what VR has to do or NCBDI staff has to do in addition to what is the client responsible for, and then helping them navigate through that. And when individuals do have concerns, most cases, I haven't had any cases that have to go to the level of formal mediation or have a formal hearing. So we are very focused on preventing things like that, or even preventing complaints if possible before it even happens, through just that communication and clarification. Like I said, individuals might call and maybe they think they have a complaint, or they think, my worker's mean, and they learn about, oh, okay, she or he didn't write these rules. They're literally written, in the policy or procedure, and they're just kind of following those rules. And a big thing with CAP is helping interpret those policies and procedures of the program, and also making sure that they're still in line with the federal regulations of what those services are supposed to look like. Sometimes they don't always match exactly, and that's expected. The state is, giving their interpretation of those regulations. But sometimes there's little gaps in there where clients can understand their rights, and if there's maybe a little bit of a gray area to advocate more or even request exceptions. So, like I said, a lot of it is informal communication, and the biggest part is that individual advocacy. So a lot of our services are individual advocacy, and then we also have the systemic advocacy. Systemic advocacy is a big part of doing things like this. Kind of why I'm here now is being engaged with community, coming and giving presentations, making sure individuals understand services, or they know about CAP, and individuals with disabilities can contact the CAP program. We, like I said, it's not just about complaints and concerns, it's also about information, education, making sure that they know their rights. So CAP is everywhere in Nebraska. We serve the full state, and so anyone with a disability can call with questions. With concern to systemic advocacy, I mentioned attending this meeting. There are other committee and council meetings that I attend as well. And the big part of that is to try to identify patterns, to listen and see if there's any barriers going on that maybe affects individuals seeking services, or maybe even affects the way that the staff are able to administer the services. And I am there as a representative for those clients, mainly definitely the unserved and underserved individuals, to kind of be their voice, to listen as a client and see, okay, well, if that was my client and this is kind of what they had to go through, is there a better way? Is there something that staff can do to help clients move through those services? Because a lot of the policies and procedures are a lot for clients to understand and keep track of. So I have found that they often maybe require more tools than maybe VR staff, NCBVI staff kind of always think about, because they're like, I'm following the policy, this is what I have to do, but then kind of that extra step to make sure that the client understands what's going on and they have that engagement. So again, a lot of what CAP does is individual advocacy and then the systemic advocacy. If there's anything that we can identify that can improve services for clients, we want to work with the administration staff and let them know of that. So how CAP works is basically individuals just reach out to CAP, and our line is actually a voicemail line. I like to give individuals a heads up about that. So when they do contact CAP, you'll be prompted to leave a voice message. I do that just in case clients or individuals that you are referring aren't maybe comfortable with a voice message. So maybe they know that they have an individual with them when they call that maybe leaves a message for them. Or we also have email. We have cap.info at nebraska.gov. And I have brochures that I didn't bring out, but I'll bring them out as soon as we're finished here. But that's also another avenue where individuals, if they maybe just don't feel comfortable, you know, speaking by voice, and they advocate better, you know, through written word, that's always an option as well. They have that choice to contact us by email. But otherwise, that's really, we are calling them back, we're talking about their issue, getting any types of clarification, seeing how it falls in line with what's happening and then what it actually says in policy and procedures. And then, if needed, if we need to reach out to the staff person that they're working with, we're going to reach out to them and see how we can collaborate to, like I said earlier, to resolve any issues or concerns at that lowest level possible. A lot of times clients can be a little bit confused about where they're at in the process. That's why it can be very helpful for the actual agency staff person to be included in that collaboration. We need that person, because maybe there's some gray areas that maybe the client isn't completely able to explain, because that's not their program, right? They're just accessing services. So that's part of some of those phone calls and what they could look like. But again, CAP is a lot of communication and clarification, whether I'm talking to clients or whether I'm giving presentation or being a part of a committee or council. So I'm there to speak up and be part of their voice. I feel like I've been talking a lot. Any questions on anyone's mind right away? Okay. I just don't want anyone to forget, just in case.
Right.
I'm having trouble keeping this mic close to my mouth, too. I'm sorry. So the next part I'll talk about is that collaboration and consultation. So I like to make sure that the agencies that we serve understand that CAP isn't here to like monitor them or be like, hey, you did this wrong. It is really an emphasis on collaborating with those programs and how we can all work together to best support the client. That's our goal, to see what services the client needs to remove barriers to achieve their employment goal in most cases. And how can we get to that point? Because that's what we're all there for. And hopefully it can go in a positive manner, right? I'm acting kind of as that mediator, so hopefully communication can go a little smoother. I can ask for updates and then kind of summarize and interpret as the process goes along. But an important part of that is when we are collaborating with VR, that they're always invited to even contact CAP staff. Maybe they don't have a CAP case, but maybe they have a client that, well, they might call CAP, or maybe this should be a CAP case. Maybe I need to refer them to CAP. So it does happen where VR staff, NCBVI staff, or independent living centers do call CAP and say, hey, I have a situation, I have some questions about policy, and am I following it right? So essentially staffing a case, but more just sticking to the details that are with concern to the policy or procedure, obviously, because there's no release of information to kind of share all that info. But sometimes I will add to that the VR staff or the NCBVI staff maybe need help even advocating for themselves on behalf of the client. There are sometimes cases where the client and their direct staff person, they're on the same page. And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll make this request for maybe this type of equipment. And then when the request gets to the administrator or that supervisor, they're like, no, we can't do that. And this is why, this, this, and this. And maybe that staff person really feels strongly like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but... And they kind of want to do a little extra advocacy because that's their job, right? Especially if they believe in it and they want to support that piece, they can reach out to CAP and CAP can possibly give them some ideas, give them some pointers, and also, you know, give that prompt too that if you think that CAP should have more engagement, to make sure that your clients know that that's available. And so the clients know, too, that that's a partnership, that we're able to work together, that it's not necessarily an us versus them. I will say that CAP is definitely an advocate first for clients, and I say that in the sense where they are the people seeking services, so kind of closes that power gap. So if clients do feel that, you know, like, oh, I have to, you know, do what they say, or this is what they explain to me, so I'm going to believe them, they're the expert. So just to have that extra person to kind of say, no, I think it's okay to ask that, or maybe have this conversation and encourage those kind of things. Obviously, self-advocacy and understanding their informed choice so they get that information and they have that ability. Like I said, with the VR staff, so their role, VR and CBVI, depending kind of what case it is, they have that responsibility to make sure that the clients are notified about CAP. So individuals, when they initially seek services, so that orientation or maybe they're taking an application, that the staff will inform clients about CAP so they know that it's a resource. Sometimes that can happen in mail correspondence as well. So if they're mailing things, sometimes CAP information is added. So maybe they are saying, you know, you're not eligible for this, but if you have questions, you are welcome to contact the CAP program. Clients are also have the right to that formal mediation, like I said, and fair hearing, but really nobody wants to do that. Not that they're discouraged from doing that, but it is much more of a process, and it takes more time to actually come to a resolution. So those are really only times when VR, CAP, and the client really just can't come to a resolution and we might need to go to the next step. But that hasn't happened to me as of yet. So I hope to continue that route because that means for the most part everyone's being able to resolve things informally. But they should be informing clients about CAP during that eligibility process, the application, when they do their individualized plan for employment. So when they're signing that and saying I agree to it, that's another avenue where you should inform individuals about the CAP service. It is also required that they inform individuals anytime a service is denied. So denied, reduced, or maybe just kind of pending for more information, that is a time where CAP information should be offered as well. So again, they understand what they can do to advocate for themselves if they don't agree. And the final time is at closure. So again, a lot of time that can happen with mail correspondence. So maybe CAP is mentioned on a closure letter or something like that. Just kind of that ending piece where CAP is there. Maybe they don't know why they got this closure letter. Sometimes individuals will call us before they call the counselor or the staff person that's listed on there. We don't mind. We just kind of giggle a little bit. They're like, we got this letter and I don't know what it is. I'm like, well, who actually said it? We don't mind accident calls either, because there's usually always an opportunity to educate the client a lot more than maybe they would have got if they just directly called their counselor. Okay. Questions so far? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
I was wondering how many clients take advantage of this opportunity.
I'm trying to make sure that I don't skip ahead too much, but I don't think I am. So with concern to individuals that CAP serves, it is broken up a little bit different. So CAP, like I said, has that information and referral part where individuals with disabilities are just calling and asking for information and trying to access services. And then there's the other branch that is more of the goes into the complaint realm, that I have a complaint and I need help resolving it. So with concern to information and referral calls, there was roughly over 650 calls during the last fiscal year, so 10/1/24 to 9/30/25, so within that year. So roughly with work days, that looks about like 2 to 3 calls a day. And then with concern to the complaints, they can look a little bit different. Like I said, sometimes they don't always turn into a full complaint, where maybe it ends up being just information and referral because they're calling and their questions are answered, and it's a one phone call, and they're not requesting any additional services. So there's a little bit of a fuzzy line there. But the actual CAP complaint cases are a little lower. So they range from 12 to about 20. I think clients have been a little apprehensive about services in the past year, just because different climate things that are going on and a lot of changes with benefits and making sure they're following the rules. So I feel like there have been an increase in that just general information and that need for guidance versus I'm already here, I'm applying for services, and I have a complaint. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, thank you. You know, I was a little concerned because of the uncertainty of the climate that we are in now. And so it pleases me very much that people are taking advantage of your services.
Yes, I appreciate it as well. I don't know sometimes how individuals get our message, our information. I know, you know, CAP here in Nebraska, it was kind of created even before it was federally mandated. So it's been around for a long time, that number and the email, things like that. So I think they're posted on websites that who knows where they are anymore. Even sometimes I get calls in my direct line and I'm like, I don't even know how people get this line. So not that it's an issue, but even our direct email. So we kind of get reached out to in those different ways as well. So that really spoke, those calls are really speaking to that information and referral. And just to ward off any confusion, for CAP, our administration of information and referral, we call it the Hotline for Disability Services. So if you ever see CAP and Hotline for Disability Services, you know, close by, overall umbrella is CAP, and that is just what we've named that. Again, that is something that was created before CAP was ever even fully mandated. And now it's been around so long that, like I said, it's just posted places where they're there and people still see it. And it's very kind of old, so we don't want to get rid of that name. Although it's not a true hotline, It's a hotline in the sense where you can leave a voice message 24 hours, but it's not anything where you're going to call if you really urgently need something or in an emergency. Because there's a chance that you might not get a call back for 24 to 48 hours, just depending on, you know, if it's a Friday or if there's any kind of holiday going on. Sometimes we take a little bit more time to call back as well if we're doing a little bit more research before we call you back. So maybe you have some specific questions, and we want to look into the policy and procedures and see if we can give the best answer possible. Okay. Just a clarification about who CAF serves. Anyone with disabilities, but also anyone that is applying for services at NCBVI, they can already be initiated in services. So it's either Nebraska VR, the Nebraska Commission for Blind and Visually Impaired, and Independent Living Centers. So that is the League for Human Dignity and Independence Rising in Nebraska. So those programs are also able to make referrals to CAP for complaints as well, which doesn't happen too often, just because that program is operated a little bit differently. I think there are a lot more needs and maybe concerns when it comes to that pursuing employment, that there's a lot of stuff going on versus, services that the League of Human Dignity or Independence Rising have, where trying to just make sure that they're able to live and prosper within their community, not necessarily to work. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about that a little bit already. Just kind of a reminder about the systemic advocacy part. So for NCBVI, I attend the monthly supervisor meetings. So I'm kind of really up to date on kind of what's going on, the little details, some of those problem solving things. So again, not that maybe I'm there to always contribute to the conversation, but I'm definitely there to listen and see, you know, where something kind of triggers, like, oh, wait a minute, are you maybe limiting their choice on maybe a service? Just to kind of give reminders and things like that, even as the policy is developing and they're having that discussion. NCBVI is always great about making sure they introduce CAP to new staff, so they invite us and have us come meet with them and do a presentation so they know about CAP right away. They've invited me as well to state staff training, so I've been able to present at that, and I'm sure I will continue to take advantage of those kind of opportunities. So I'm saying that to say CAP is also here for the agency as well, NCBVI, to be that support with training or any way to kind of collaborate, because anytime we are interacting with each other more and having that better understanding, we can always improve those services and just a lot easier to resolve issues. They see you as a collaborator, not like, who is this person? I've never seen them before. So hopefully all the individuals at NCBVI have probably seen me at least once during training. And with that being said, it's not just me. I do have one other staff person, and that is Sherry Bohinsky. She is 30 hours a week. So she is the backbone of CAP. She's been around for a really long time, so she is very knowledgeable, and she does a lot of the information and referral. And if you have more of a complaint-based call or issue, you're probably going to be talking to me a little bit more. Just kind of a FYI there. And then CAP, it regularly meets with, we are under, our state agency is actually under VR, so they fund our grant. So they don't necessarily do anything else except, make sure that we have enough money. So it's really purely that part of the oversight. Otherwise, they don't have kind of a hand at anything that VR does. That CAP does. And again, we mentioned a little bit earlier about uncertainty, so that does apply to CAP as well. So with different grants being eliminated from that current bill, so CAP was one of those that won't have a separate grant anymore, so it used to have its own grant and be able to use funds like that. So like I said earlier, VR programs are not able to exist without CAP, so it's not, nobody has a choice. So it's kind of, what does that funding look like and who is it going to come from? So obviously at this point it would continue under our current state agency, and that's something that we talk about monthly and see kind of what are our needs, kind of what are next steps. We've never been in this room before, so that's just, I don't have a lot of specifics with what that will look like moving forward, like I said, because there's always been a separate grant for a really long time, so we're kind of in the realm of unknown where I feel like that's pretty characteristic of the past year or so. So just kind of rolling with it and seeing kind of where we go from there. CAP will always be around, like I said, but it could look a little different, or maybe it's at housed in a different program. So for CAP in Nebraska, like I said, we're housed under Nebraska VR, but other CAP programs in other states often are housed under their disability rights network. So whatever they call that in their state, that is oftentimes where they are. Sometimes they're at DHHS, but not very many. let's see. I think that's about it. Just maybe some clarification on individuals when they call. They might be having a complaint about, like, this is taking too long. Like, I applied on this date, and it's this time, and I don't even know if I'm eligible yet, or we haven't developed a plan yet. So sometimes that's the client learning about the timelines and how much time staff have to get those things completed. Sometimes a client might call and say, hey, I've asked my worker for this a lot of times, and now I haven't heard from them in a month, and I don't know what to do. They haven't called me back. So sometimes CAP is just in the role of reconnecting and kind of getting that engagement started. And sometimes, you know, giving some suggestions and things like that so that partnership with the client and the staff person can kind of move forward in a positive way. I've always found that when an individual has a complaint and CAP is helping resolve that issue, that sometimes it can feel difficult for the staff person. It's like, I'm in trouble, I messed up, where I've seen that when that staff are able to say, okay, yeah, I understand that, maybe I misinterpreted that, or sorry, I'm going to try to do better, kind of moving forward, and how that can really strengthen a relationship. And I mentioned that also because sometimes clients will feel like, I just want a new worker, I don't want to work with them anymore. So we don't always want that to be the first option. We want to be able to talk about, like, well, can we at least have a meeting, can we see, or depending what the issue was, you know, and what they might be open to. So, but if they are adamant about it, of course, that's something that we can help them address and follow through with. Another thing is individuals, maybe when there is a funding item, maybe it's a little higher ticket, something that they want the agency to pay for, that can often be a denial, and sometimes it's just about information and details and making sure that policy and things like that are interpreted correctly. In most cases, in working with NCBVI, we don't have a lot of complaints from them. So, and I've, in my experience in just learning about NCBVI and being involved in some of those supervisor conversations, it does sound like NCBVI, if they can pay for something and it makes sense for the funding, that they're going to do their best within policy and procedure to make it happen. I think in my former, you know, positions, and not this position, sometimes I felt human service, like, you know, it's not your checkbook, you know, it's the agency's, like, what's going on? So I don't feel like I have that in the back of my mind whenever I hear NCBVI talk about services. So I think that's great on them, that if they can help out, they're going to look for ways to do it and make sure it happens and try to keep those clients engaged, because the employment process especially, it is a hard one, and General VR, Nebraska VR would have the same kind of engagement thing, keeping them holding on to that goal so they can kind of persevere and hopefully achieve that. I think that is it. So I'm happy to answer any questions or any comments.
Questions from the board?
I have one question. Is there a general idea of response to the client? I mean, is it like a days or weeks or?
Are you talking about CAP specifically?
Yeah.
So typically it's 24 to 48 hours around that time. So if they call or email.
Okay. And what and generally a solution, it depends, but is there a general time span, like a couple weeks, a month?
That's a good question. So it can look really different.